to episode 11 of the Witchy Woman Podcast. I am your host, Danae Sweet. I just wanted to start off this episode with a big giant thank you to everybody who listens. I wanted to share some stats of the podcast. I try not to like put too much energy or stock in, you know, how many listeners are actually doing or participating, but I had to share because it like blows me away. This is the 11th episode, and so far there's 631 downloads, and the amount of the countries that are listening, it's to me like I can't comprehend. So, you know, most of them is the United States. We have Canada, the UK, Singapore, Germany, Slovakia, Australia, Indonesia, and Ireland. Like, what? That's just for last week. That's crazy. It just blows my mind. So thank you so much for everybody that is listening. Thank you for the comments, the feedback. I've been having some really great feedback from you guys, and I really appreciate it. If you have any, constructive criticism, you can email me at Danae@DanaeSweet.com or comment on the Podbean app. You can comment on each episode, or hit me up on social media in the Witchy One podcast group. Whatever you need, whatever's easiest for you, contact me. Let me know what you guys want to hear. I am open to suggestions, and if anybody out there is a witchy woman yourself or a witchy man and you'd like to come on and talk about your practice, your business, what you offer, if you're a healer, let me know, and maybe we can work out something where we can get you on. Anyway, today I wanted to share some personal growth stuff that's happening. So I was in between my podcasts that I listen to, they hadn't come out with a new episode, and I drive an hour and a half to work. So I have a lot of podcast time. So I'm trying to find one. I'm like, oh, I need something inspirational, not just entertaining, but something to like light a fire under my ass. And, you know, I'm kind of feeling stuck lately, just like in all aspects of my life. I've just been feeling slow and sluggish and frustrated, and I thought something really inspirational would be a good idea. So I started listening to this podcast that Oprah has called Soul Conversations, and it's the ones that she has on TV, I can't remember what it's called, but I think it's the same. Anyway, they're freaking amazing. Like, the first episode blew me away. It was Brené Brown. The second one was, I cried all the way to work. It was about death and loss and dealing with that. But anyway, this really, it did what it was supposed to do. It was supposed to make me ask questions, make me question things about myself, my current thought processes, the false narratives that are going on, like really point that stuff out for me. So anyway, she started asking, in one of them, she started talking about things that that you want in life. Like, what do you really want? And I know that's a super cliche thing. Like, I think every freaking, life coach out there has some kind of program revolving around the question, what do you want? Okay. And even, so we watch Scandal, and Olivia Pope is a character on that, and she's this badass bitch, and that's her, like, number one question for her clients. What do you want? And what I mean is not what you want to admit to everyone else. Like, what do you want? Oh, I want, a two-car garage and a white picket fence, and I want this beautiful family, blah, 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 blah. Okay, that's the obvious shit, and, the stuff that's admittable to public, admittable to yourself, right? But I wanted to like really dig deep and ask myself, what do I really want? Like, in the bottom of the darkest little hole in my subconscious, what do I really want? What am I hiding from myself that I want, right? So I really, you know, I'm a brainstormer, like, as far as on paper. Like, I just start scribbling. I'm like, what do I want? And I started scribbling all these obvious things. I'm like, that's obvious things. I want to make the world a better place. I want to, you know, have a happy family and have a happy husband and have a happy daughter and, you know, have fun time with my friends. I mean, those are the obvious freaking things. Like, that is a weak-ass answer, you know. So I, you know, checked myself and I came up with two things I hate admitting. Like, I want these things. I really want these things. And I find that a lot of my decisions are inadvertently made around these two things that I hate admitting that I want. Number one, I want to make money. Not just like, oh, I just want enough money to let, you know, get me through, get me by. No, I really want to make money. I want to make a good living at what I love, right? And I hate admitting that. Like, saying those, that phrase out loud, like, it's making my skin crawl. I want to make money. Money enough to go on vacations with my family and get all those obvious things. But I did not want to admit to myself that I want to do the thing I love. The thing I love is going to that shop and helping people. I really, really do. But admitting that I need and want to make money off of that feels awful and dirty. Like, I need to go take a freaking shower after admitting that to myself. And I've been sitting on this for a week and I still am not comfortable admitting it. So I'm getting naked basically for everyone listening here. I am going to strip myself down and explain myself. So maybe some of you can take some of this and apply it to yourself. Start asking yourself what you really want, like the shameful stuff that you are feeling you can't admit. Like, let's get down to it, right? So, the money thing. So, money and healing, money and light workers. I hate that word, light worker, but it's the descriptive term that is used right now to describe people that are working in the field I am. So why the hell is it such like a bad word, money and abundance, in association with being a healer or being a light worker? I think social media has a shitload to do with this problem. It's all over the freaking internet. Like, in the morning when you check your Facebook, like, wake up in the morning and check your, like, you know, love and light sites, like the Facebook pages, and they all have something about healing and making the world a better place. You know, the majority of them are going to talk about that. Nothing in it has anything to do with money. They talk about being altruistic and giving of yourself, which is all really, they're great qualities and virtues to have in a person that is a light worker, right? But do any of them say anything about abundance and money in association with what light workers do? No. Actually, they shame it. Like, they shame. I see posts about, you know, shaming abundance, shaming those who want to profit off of healing. And I have seen people totally Facebook shame other people for advertising their services. So one example in particular, it's my own. When I first started doing this work, I didn't have a physical location. I started out doing readings in my home, right? On the phone. So I advertised and had my Facebook page and all this stuff. And this woman, she just started publicly shaming me. How dare you charge anybody for the work you do? You are a light worker. How dare you? And this was my like first 2 weeks of actually offering readings, mediumship readings to the public. I was so upset. Like, part of me is like, oh shit, do I not charge? Am I like a bad person for charging for this service? I really struggled with it. And she didn't just stop publicly. She started sending me messages, private messages, saying that I am like this terrible freaking low. I mean, there were some choice words that she used that I'm not going to repeat. But she said that I should offer my services for free because it's a gift given by God, and how dare I taint God's gift by asking for monetary reimbursement. Now, she is not the only person that has ever shamed me this way. I think that anybody in this work, this line of work, has had some kind of run-in with, we're just going to call her, we'll call her Susan. Everybody has their Susan that has shamed them online because they have no balls to do it face-to-face. Like, people like that just, they hide behind the computer screen and shame people to make themselves feel better. And I totally get that, but it gets to you after a while. Whether they do it on private messenger or they do it publicly, either way, it makes you feel like shit. It makes me doubt whether I, you know, am doing the right thing. You know, am I taking advantage of this gift that Spirit has given me? Am I? My head says, no, I'm not taking advantage of it. Everybody has to make a living. This is the gift I was given to help people, but I also need to help myself and help my family by making money, right? So this is the internal struggle that is my brain wrapped around my job and money. So I just started thinking about it. Like, how the hell am I going to reconcile all of this, right? And then you have people reinforcing that in person. So it's not just online. Like I said, like during that metaphysical fair that we went to a couple weeks ago, there was, and I'll just call her Angry Hippie. Angry Hippie was running around, like every time someone would say, let's bring, you know, everybody focus on abundance and prosperity, she's whack, you know, no, wrong. We're supposed to be light workers and spreading the joy and love and light and blah, 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 which is all great, but stop being such a fucking Debbie Downer and like shaming people because they want to make money. I'm sorry, but everybody paid a booth fee to be there to, you know, peddle their wares or to share their gift, but also get a reimbursement. You know, it'd be great if we lived in a world where we didn't need money, but we do. Okay. So it's not just online, it's in person. And those people just keep picking and chipping away at any kind of like, I don't know, any kind of firm belief that, yes, I deserve to earn money using my gift. So even though I don't agree with her, and quite honestly, she like made my skin crawl just being around her, I still, what she said got to me. Like, it still bugged the shit out of me. And I hate that. I hate that she got to me, but she did. So anyway, that just shows how deep my shame goes. Like, that money and healing creates a shame for me. So I come up with, I wanted to know why. Like, why does my brain know that is false, but I still feel this way, right? So I came up with an equation. And I'm not a math person. I suck at math. I hate math. I just was trying to figure out in a logical way, why the hell do I feel this way? Why am I living in a space of lacking? Because I totally am. I live in a space of lacking. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough confidence. I live in this space of lacking revolving around money in my situation. So I came up with this. Past accumulated trauma surrounding money plus stigma with healers and money plus shame equal living in a space of lacking. So I am living in a space of lacking because if I make money at what I do to help others, I'm inherently bad. I feel shame, right? That toxic message is eating me alive. And the toxic message, if you want to break that down into a false equation that my subconscious is buying into, it's helping others plus money equals fraud and low self-worth. And it's freaking wrong. It's so wrong. Like, my brain's like, you freaking idiot. Why do you believe this? But I do. I buy into it. So if you're genuinely trying to make a world a better place using your gifts that Spirit gave you, why should you live in poverty? Why should you, you know, resist charging more for your services? I charge very little compared to the state average of what the services I do. Like, ridiculously low. I justify it by saying I haven't been doing it as many years as some of the pros in the state. I have a smaller demographic to pull from, and the average income in the area I live in is not as much as Eastern Nebraska, where the rest of the mediums and psychics are set up. So that's how I justified it. But really, in my head, like, the true thing is I don't think I'm worth charging what those people charge. Like, that's the real reason. I hate admitting this. I hate admitting this to myself. I can't believe I'm admitting this to God and everybody on this podcast, but I feel like I need to just strip naked, get it all out, like, just destroy this false narrative by speaking it. And maybe this will help me heal, and in turn help someone else heal. The other thing, I want to move on to the other thing that I hate admitting. And this one may be more damaging to me, or let me rephrase it, harder for me to admit to myself and to others than the money thing. Here goes. I need you to like me. I'm going to say it one more time for myself. I need you to like me. I hate that. Oh my God. That phrase is something I loathe. I have worked most of my life trying to not live in that space. Like, actively rebelling through my teenage years. Even in grade school, I can remember, you know, not wanting to admit that I wanted someone to like me. Like, I hated it. And this is because, I'm sure a lot of social reasons, but my main reason is that my mother drove that into me from an early age with one sentence. What will people think? Every time I wanted to wear a funky outfit, like, I was very strange as far as my wardrobe when I got into, like, junior high and high school. I wanted to dress like a hippie. I wanted my hair straight, par down the middle. I wanted to wear bell bottoms and flowers and, you know, short, you know, jean shorts that were cut off and, you know, little tank tops. Like, I wanted to be a hippie. I loved the idea of being a free spirit. Nobody dressed like that here. So my mom hated it. I'm sure she hated it for other reasons too, but the one that she kept showing me or telling me about was, what will people think? Every time I spoke up about something that girls shouldn't talk about, or when I questioned religion we were brought in, I was asked some kind of variant of that question. What's helping me heal, I think, from that is understanding why my mom did that. Like, why did she drive that into our heads that we had to give a shit what other people thought? I never did understand, like, why the hell would you put yourself in that little tiny box for other people? I did not understand this. I spent my entire adult life not understanding why the fuck would you torture yourself like that for your entire life. And she does. She has to have beautiful makeup, have the perfect figure, have the perfect clothing. And she always looked good. I mean, put a ton of effort into her appearance. But I mean, to the point where it was almost obsession. But I learned something. When I went through the mind-body wellness practitioner program at school, I learned something that changed my life. People do the best they can in each moment with the information they have in that moment. I'm just going to say it again. People do the best they can in each moment with the information they have in that moment. Now, it took me a bit to really wrap my head around what the hell that actually means, right? So then I applied that to my mom and her methods, how she raised me. She may have done some really messed up things, but her childhood, an example of mothering children, was absolutely not perfect. It was far from it. She had, you know, battles with mental health from before I can even remember. So she did the best that she could in each moment with the information she had. She subscribes to the idea and was raised with this idea that if you dress well, if you're skinny, if you're pretty, that avoids pain. For her, I think that meant rejection. So she was trying to make me conform to help me avoid pain, which every mom tries to do, right? We try to keep our kids from experiencing pain of any sort, emotional, physical, doesn't matter. We don't want our kids to have any kind of pain. I know that's unrealistic, but we try really hard to shield them from that, right? So I claim not to care what anyone thinks. But because of my upbringing, it's driven into my subconscious that it is imperative for survival to conform, to be liked, because if not, I will experience something negative, pain. I will experience some kind of rejection. I will not be good enough. And not being good enough is the root of this thing. All right? If people will like me, then maybe I will be good enough. So all that mulling around in this, you know, brain of mine has turned into a fear surrounding social situations for me, community involvement, and connecting with other people. You may not be able to see that if you know me. You may not think that this is a thing, but I hide things very well. I've learned to hide my weird anxieties. But I'm working on it, you know. I meditate. I am using positive affirmations. It's a process, but understanding what happened and why the hell I care that what other people think about me is very important, so that I can let go of this storyline that I need people to like me. And the things I do to make people like me often create a negative experience in my life, because I will do so much for other people and not enough for myself, and then I get sick or something happens. But it's usually never a good thing when I'm trying that hard. And I can't tell you that I'll be healed tomorrow, I'll be healed next week or next month or next year, but the fact that I understand this now and my brain can actually compute what's going on in a logical fashion, to me that means that I will get better. I'll be better with time. I will not be a people pleaser forever. This will end at some point. So, I know I have issues. Now what? So you have these like super aha moments and, you know, what now? My challenge to you is to be vulnerable with yourself. Get naked with me. Let's do the work. Right? Let's be vulnerable with yourself first. Find a want. Ask yourself what you want in your relationship, in your friend, in your partner, in your hobby, your job. Pick one of those things, right? And ask yourself, what do you want? I know it's a cliche, but it's a good place to start. And I want you to ask yourself the hard questions about what you want. The things you do not want to admit, the things that once your brain goes there, you pull back and go, nope, because of shame. Like, do you want kinky sex and you don't want to admit it to your partner or yourself? Like, is that something you want? Why do you feel you can't admit it? That's where we want to get. You want to start there with that shame. That word runs and ruins our lives. Whether we want to admit that it does it or not, but shame and the reason you have a hard time admitting to yourself what you really want is the real golden ticket, right? That's the thing we're getting down to. You can want a whole ton of things, but the things we want that we really work at hiding from ourselves are the things that we should be picking apart. Okay, and really, really applying yourself to work on if you really want to grow as a human being. So this was a really hard episode for me to record. So if it's rambly, I'm really sorry. But I wanted to touch on, because I think it's not just the metaphysical, witchy, woo-woo community that feels shame around money and needing to be liked. I think it's probably a humanity thing. But I think, I just really wanted to be vulnerable because I'm on my own spiritual journey. I'm on a journey that will never end. You know, I feel like even when you transition to the next phase in your journey, which is, you know, death, it's never ending. You just go to a new spiritual level, right? So it's never ending. Your journey's never stopping. My journey will never stop. So I constantly want to understand myself in this human form so that my soul can evolve. And I wanted to share that with you. I don't usually share things like this with many people, but I thought that I have this platform and maybe this can help somebody else if I am vulnerable to you and to myself as well. All right, so let's end this podcast with something just a little bit more light and fun. I created a game, and it's a guessing game. I'm going to have my daughter come on and do this. But I have gotten, 8 different religious rituals or beliefs. And I have just put them, just described them. I wrote down what it is. And she's going to guess whether it is witchy or not. So I've got a whole bunch of different religions and beliefs sprinkled in there. I just want to have fun with it. This isn't meant to, belittle anyone. It's just fun, okay? It's just meant to point out that we all have some weird wackadoo stuff going on that we believe in, and that is okay, all right? Okay, so my first question for you. Wait, let's just introduce you first. So this is Madison, my daughter. Say hi.
Hey.
Okay. All right. So first question or first example, you have to tell me whether it's witchy or not. This is used these are spiritual beliefs and rituals. Okay. So using an electric device to determine spiritual health by monitoring the subject's responses to questions. Witchy or no?
That sounds so messed up. Not witchy. It doesn't sound very witchy to me. That sounds pretty messed up, actually.
Right. It's Scientology.
Oh.
Evidently, they use a device, and I can't remember what it was, but it's some device that they hook them up to and ask them questions. Yeah. It's interesting. So anyway, okay, second one. Witchy or not? A ritual performed by grasping a live chicken by the shoulder blades and moving around one's head 3 times, symbolically transferring one's evil to the chicken. The chicken is then slaughtered and donated to the poor. Witchy or not?
Poor chicken!
I know.
Probably witchy.
Nope.
Wait, what?
Right? I know.
This sounds like something some extremists would do.
Right?
Nope. It's a Jewish ritual called Kapparot. Or Kapparot.
R.I.P. chicken.
Right? Okay. Next one. Eating food representing the body and blood of their deity.
Wait. Repeat that.
Eating food representing the body and blood of their deity.
I thought you said eating the body and blood.
No.
That's not witchy. Not witchy.
Right. That's Christians.
I was going to say, that's Christianity.
Yep.
I knew that one.
Yep. That's Dang. Communion. Okay. Number 4. Burying leftovers from spiritual rituals.
Oh, that's witchy.
That's definitely witchy. you've probably seen me do
it. Yeah, I was going to say, you've done that.
Okay, an incense burner called a censer is carried throughout the beginning of the ritual, often used during the ritual by the spiritual leader to symbolize purification. Witchy or no?
Sounds witchy. I bet that's witchy.
What? Catholic Church does it.
What?
Right.
What?
Yep.
That sounds like sage or something. But it's not, like, not incense, but...
Yeah, same thing.
But, like, wow. Surprising.
Yeah. Okay. This one. You're gonna love this one. Okay. The foreskin. You know what a foreskin is? You know what that is, right? She's 16, guys.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Oh,
the foreskin of their deity was considered powerful and magical to possess.
I don't even know.
Witchy or not?
Oh, God. I don't know. It's messed up either way. Right. Not witchy?
Right. It's actually from Christianity.
No way.
Okay. Charlemagne, the origination of this, it was actually, you know, the foreskin of Jesus is what they're saying, because he was Jewish and he got this done. Anyway, it was supposedly given by Charlemagne, was given to Pope Leo III as a Christmas gift in 1800 when the Pope crowned him emperor. It was, yeah, and it was like, it's a thing that was like an artifact that was like on the black market, and there's some weird shit online about it.
What the heck?
Right?
That's messed up.
Yes. Okay, next one. I love this one. Kolob is the planet closest to their deity's throne.
Kolob? Sounds like coleslaw.
Right?
Not witchy?
Right. It's actually Mormon.
Mormons? What the heck?
Okay. Yes! Okay, last one. Handling of poisonous snakes to prove the power of their deity's protection and their faith.
Handling snakes? Oh, yeah. Screw that. No. I don't know. Sounds like... I'm gonna say... This is difficult. How about witchy?
Nah! Southern Baptist.
Southern Baptist... Crazy.
That, yep, I found that online. They would, it's actually something that's not, they're actually not supposed to do anymore because it puts people in danger. They were so they were actually doing this for children. Like, their parents would give the snakes to the children in extreme cases. Yeah. And if you got bit, then oops, your faith wasn't good enough.
See, that's so weird how, like, Christians, Mormons, like, Catholics, they do some crazy crap, and they think that witchy stuff is so extreme. No.
Exactly.
If anything, I've learned that witchy stuff is not that crazy compared to other religions.
Right. I wanted to do this to show that, you know, everybody, there's tons of different religions and tons of different facets of each religion, and there's some weird crap in everybody's, you know, closets, including each denomination of Christianity and all these other things. So we're all weird and wackadoo, and we should all just be happy that we live on this beautiful earth together and can do wackadoo shit.
I still vote for no killing of chickens.
Yeah, I don't want to kill the chickens. I thought that was kind of mean.
Or handling snakes. Yeah. So, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Madison, for being on.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Thanks to everybody for listening to episode 11. Thank you to my daughter, Madison, for coming on and having a fun time and playing that little game with me. If you would like to comment about this episode, please go to the Witchy Woman Podcast page and also the Witchy Woman Podcast group. You can find those on Facebook. Just type that in and it'll come up. Also, you can get me on Twitter at Danae_sweet_. You can send me an email, Danae@danaesweet.com. You can send me snail mail if you would like to. I think it'd be really cool. I've heard other podcasts advertise that kind of thing, and that'd be super cool. I could start like a wall of snail mail at the shop. I think that'd be really cool. So you can mail me at P.O. Box 333, Hyannis, Nebraska. That's H-Y-A-N-N-I-S, Nebraska, 69350. Send it to Danae Sweet, and I will freak out if I get snail mail. Seriously. I want to thank everybody. Seriously. So much love for everyone that has been listening. I've been getting some freaking amazing feedback, and I hope that this podcast is entertaining to you, but also helps you in some way or fashion. So today was a really hard one for me to do because I felt super vulnerable. I don't like admitting those things to myself, let alone whoever will be listening to this episode. I was actually really, really nervous about recording it. I'm even more nervous about hitting the publish button once I'm done editing this. I'm probably going to have podcaster remorse after I publish it because it's super scary for me to do this. So anyway, I appreciate you guys witnessing and being here and listening to me being vulnerable and a little bit raw. I appreciate that. So with that, I want to tell you guys goodbye. All right. Till next time. Bye.